Although it was a poet, T.S. Eliot, who said that April is the cruelest month, for many of us, April is a wonderful month, a time to honor and celebrate and bring poetry center stage. It's National Poetry Month. And to explore what poetry is in their life, I've invited three gifted Cincinnati poets who each bring their own heritage, African-American, Greek, Latina, and their own spirit to their poetry. I'm happy to welcome to the studio Tyrone Williams, Valerie Cronus Bickett, and Luz Marina Valleda to the studio, and I am eager to explore what poetry is in their lives and to hear some of their poetry. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to be with you. So, Luz, I want to start with you. You came to this country from Guatemala, and you graduated college in the States, and you've lived in Cincinnati for almost 20 years now. Your most recent book is El Abidul, or
El Abidul.
Thank you. Or Not Ready to Go, but yes. You are. So you bring the richness of two languages to your poetry, Spanish and English. Which one does a poem usually start in for you?
Yes, of course, when I was younger and I didn't live here, everything I wrote was in Spanish. But as I came to the United States and I went to college in the United States, and I've lived more than half of my life in the United States, I'm usually more comfortable speaking in Spanish, but I have more vocabulary writing in English. So most of my poems and the inspiration for my poems start in English, and most of my poems are written directly in English. And a few of them, of course, come in Spanish and are written in Spanish because English is not my first language.
Yes, yes.
And I do prefer my mother language when I speak because it's the everyday language that I treasure in my Spanish way.
And tell us about what you treasure about poetry in your everyday life. Do you have a way of thinking about that?
Yes, I thought about that before I came. And I've always been a private person. So I came up with this idea of my drawer of darkness, which is what's inside myself that nobody can see. And my only way to express that and to share that is through poetry.
And you have brought us a poem tonight, and I'm going to ask you to read it in Spanish first, and then in English, please.
Cielo mandarina, que alegras la mañana, haces que la miseria se deshaga. La luz absorbe la luna detrás de la enramada. ¿Y a dónde se irá la gloria de las hojas escarlatas? Las ramas sin nidos se llenarán en primavera. Glad tangerine sky. You make misery crumble, dazzling sunrise. Morning absorbs the moon behind the bramble. And where will the glory of the red leaves go? Barren tree branches which hold no nests in the fall will be filled in spring.
I think this gives us two things, this poem. One is it's a wonderful welcoming of the season that we're in, but it also gives us hope. And I think poetry in a very short space can almost always do that. So it's a great place to go to when we're looking for hope. Thank you. Beautiful poem.
Thank you.
Dr. Tyrone Williams is African-American. He is professor of English at Xavier University, and his most recent book of poetry is As Is. That's I-Z. So Tyrone, I'm also interested to know what poetry plays in your everyday life. I'm imagining you're teaching it by day, writing it by moonlight kind of thing. Or is it just a current, a river that runs through your life?
Well, it's true that at various points throughout a day, an idea, a word, a phrase, part of a conversation may come to mind. And I try to remember it to write it down in a journal or notebook later at night, as you point out, after my day is done. So I do, during the semester, do most of my writing during the evening, late at night. But when I'm not teaching, it could happen at any point during the day.
So one of the other things that I know about your poetry is that it is sometimes inspired by another poet, which I think is a wonderful part of the creative process. I don't know that I always thought of it that way. You know, one was so instilled with not plagiarizing as a student, but this is a very different process where creation sparks creation. So you want to talk a little bit about that and how it works in your poetry?
Yeah, there are lots of different poets that I read, and so I can't say there's any particular poet per se, but for me, reading poetry is a good primer in some ways for writing my own poetry. It gives me ideas and inspiration. That's one thing I try to do every day is read at least one poem by, you know, a poet. I recently wrote a one-line poem that I can recite for you that was inspired.
Yes.
It's short enough so I can remember it. It doesn't have a title yet, but it's a line that suddenly just came to me out of nowhere. So here's the line, "An oar stirs in dead waters."
So a lot of food for thought there, just in that one sentence. Do you think it will stay that way? Will it grow? Don't know yet?
Don't know yet. You know, it might just be that one.
Yes.
I like the fact that in some ways, the shorter a poem, the more evocative it can be because there isn't a lot of other information for readers. And so the reader has to provide his or her own context and information.
Yes.
In some ways, I like the idea of a one-line poem that readers can puzzle over.
And some similarities in feeling with a haiku.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The haiku works that way, too. It can, you know, be very evocative because it's so short.
Thank you. Valerie Cronus Bickett is also with us, and her heritage is Greek. She's the author of Triandafilo and has taught Our Lives with Words writing classes for a number of years now. So you, in terms of poetry in your life, I remember you telling me once that poetry is a spiritual practice for you. Say more about that, would you?
Yes. I use poetry, the writing of poetry, to make meaning of chaos in my life, either the chaos of good fortune or the chaos of disorder and pain and fear. I find it is like prayer. And in fact, the person who writes the most about this is Gregory Orr in his book, Poetry as Survival. And he talks about this being across cultures, that people have done this since the beginning, used poetry to make meaning of something that they're going through, and then take the writing, form it into a poem so that it can be read to somebody else who can also benefit in their own lives from possibly going through the same thing and having the poem.
Interestingly enough, tonight you have brought a poem that has a form to it, and I'm going to ask you to tell us just a little bit about that. Most of us know about sonnets. William Shakespeare certainly introduced us to those, but there are a number of different forms that a poet can choose from to write in. So tell us about the villanelle.
It's unusual for me, actually, to use a form. This is a 19-line poem with a repeating lines that you'll see when I read it. For Marianthe, I had a daughter 18 years ago. A Tuesday morning, Winton Place. Today, I celebrate that vertigo. Brothers, husband, sons, and then a show of pink in the mirror of my face. I had a daughter 18 years ago. What crossed my mind was, oh, it is possible to have a waterfall of grace. Today I celebrate that vertigo of surprise, of gain, of winning slowly over years a sister base. I had a daughter 18 years ago. And all these years, yes, she tells me no in the other world of dolls and lace. Today I celebrate that vertigo of finding her a foe and then returning to embrace. I had a daughter 18 years ago. Today I celebrate that vertigo.
So I especially like the pairing of the form of the villanelle that has this repetition of lines, albeit in a different arrangement, with the birthing of a child, because as a mother, I know I come back to that experience repetitively over and over. So it just seems a perfect marriage to me.
Yeah, a meditation, you're kind of in a trance where you're just savoring the moment, an anniversary or some celebration. It is a good form for that.
Yes, a wonderful poem. Thank you. A fellow writer recently introduced me to the author Pam Houston, who, in describing her writing process, says that the very first, I'm going to call it embryonic second, of a piece of writing comes to her as a glimmer. And she writes that glimmer down so that she has captured it. Valerie, do you have a thought about how you describe a glimmer in your life?
I think it is a little rise. And I remember Ted Hughes, in a book of poetry for children, an instruction book, called it a leap. I would say, I feel a little lift. I say, oh my goodness, that's a line I'm going to write down.
Wonderful. Louise, how about you?
Yeah, I like the glimmer. I do have experienced that glimmer many times. I would call it my moment of inspiration. And I do write it down, because if I don't, my memory fails me. So I always try to have pen and paper at hand.
Yes, yes. Well, I think it comes, I'm going to say, through our right brain. So, you know, the left brain then takes over and can stomp that glimmer out. Tyrone, how about you?
Yes, as I mentioned before, I carry a notebook too, you know, a pen, even in the car, which can be a little hazardous, to say the least. But, you know, at stoplights sometimes, because actually, when I'm driving, I sometimes get ideas. And so I keep a pen and paper in the car. And at stoplights, I jot down things very quickly.
Yes, I think those moments, many people describe it happening when they're walking. But I, like you, find in the car, when I don't have other distractions mentally, that's a great moment for it. Just delightful being with all of you. Thank you so much for being a part of our wonderful Cincinnati Poets. We're so lucky to be gifted with all of you. I have been talking with Valerie Cronus-Bickett, Luz Marina Valleda, and Tyrone Williams about poetry tonight in National Poetry Month here on WVXU. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.